It's time for Branding Business, the only show that brings branding experts and corporate executives together to explore how branding your business can improve both your top-line growth and bottom-line performance. Brought to you by Rikus Baird. And now, here's your host.
Welcome to Branding Business with Rikus Baird. I'm Ryan Rikus, and I think you'll enjoy today's show as we'll cover best practices for branding a merger. So we have a great guest today, Alan Chappell, Director of Corporate Communications at Axiall Corporation, the new name for the recent merger between Georgia Gulf and the Commodity Chemicals Division of PPG. The result of this merger is a Fortune 500-sized company with $5 billion in sales and over 6,000 employees. Rikus Baird had the opportunity of working with Alan and Axiall's executive leadership team to define the new brand promise for this merged company, create its new name, identity, and website, then coordinate a staged approach at launching the new brand, both internally and externally. So I'd like to welcome Alan Chappell. Welcome to Branding Business.
Thanks, Ryan. It's great to be here. We really appreciate the opportunity to continue to launch the Axiall brand and help people understand our brand story.
Let me begin by saying that you were the point person on communicating this merger, both internally and externally. So with that viewpoint, I'd like to make a suggestion. Our listeners like to hear firsthand best practices and insights on specific topics. So under the topic of branding a merger, I'd like to take a very sequential look at the process that we went through and the outcomes that you experienced and hear from you what went really well, what you might have done differently, if anything. So let's kind of use that format as a process to guide this discussion. Kind of to set that up, even before we were hired, you actually coordinated a joint press release, or press announcement, I'm sorry, where both CEOs spoke about the intent to merge these two public companies, with the supporting strategic and financial rationale. Personally, I think this was very effective as it clearly told all parties, the financial marketplace, suppliers, and employees, the benefits of this merger. Maybe you can give some more insight to that very first announcement and strategic intent behind that.
Sure. Well, actually, Ryan, if you back up a step, if you recall, we actually issued an RFP even prior to the merger. You know, we've been working on the merger for several months. And before we were ready to, you know, to officially announce it in mid-July of last year, we knew it was coming. We had to, you know, begin to set some of the wheels in motion because we thought this might be a quick timeline between when we announced and when we got offered approvals to finally successfully conclude the merger and become NewCo. You know, with that in mind, we issued an RFP asking for regional, national, and local branding companies to begin thinking about or to propose what they might do to come in and evaluate Georgia Gulf, which was one of the two companies that created the merger that now is Axiall. We wanted them to come in, evaluate our brand. We had successfully defended an unsolicited takeover bid by a competitor. So we were wondering if Georgia Gulf was still the appropriate name for this company post-takeover attempt. The name Georgia Gulf really is very restrictive. It doesn't tell you anything about our company, about our products, other than the fact that, you know, we may be located around Georgia, around the Gulf Coast. So we wanted people to come in there and evaluate the Georgia Gulf brand and its relevance. We also knew that this merger was probably coming, and if that were the case, then this would give us a leg up on beginning the process of finding a branding company to help brand the new company. As far as the press release, you know, I think that's a standard practice. We're both two publicly traded companies, Georgia Gulf, and then we're merging with the commodity chemicals business of PPG Industries. And so there was a lot of shareholder interest in the merger. So the press release really allowed both companies to discuss their goals and their rationale for wanting to do this merger. In the case of PPG Industries, they wanted to focus on paints and coatings, which they believe were their core businesses, and they wanted to leave the commodity chemicals business. For us, to avoid future takeover attempts, and for us to begin to do the things we need to do to create long-term shareholder value and to grow as a company, We needed a bigger footprint in commodity chemicals, specifically around the chlorine molecule. And so really that merger was a perfect marriage. So, you know, the press release announced the intent to create this new Fortune 500 size company. And then at that point, we were in a position to really bring in the branding companies like yours to begin to help us understand who we were going to be when we grew up and how we wanted to present ourselves to the marketplace.
Well, you're absolutely right. I remember following the press coverage and, yes, the announcement of the merger significantly changed the scope of that original RFP And yet at the same time, it communicated the clear strategic benefit and intent of these two companies coming together. So let's talk a little bit about the process that you went through in selecting and evaluating a brand strategy firm. You began by organizing a selection committee comprised of both companies, which I think was smart. What were you looking for in a brand strategy firm?
Well, first of all, you know, we hadn't done this before. You know, Georgia Golf has been Georgia Golf for about 28 years. PPG has been around for more than 180 years. So I don't think there was anybody who among the executives or who were participating on the steering team that had been through an exercise quite like this before. You know, I'd like to think it was a little more scientific and thoughtful than maybe it was. But we started out just by doing a Google search of brand companies. Found a lot of companies were nationally known, some incredibly well known. The architects of household name brands, a lot of Fortune 100 companies. And we invited, you know, several of those, including Rikus Baird, to submit an RFP. One of the things we really liked about Rikus Baird was the fact that you had so much B2B expertise, which is really where we play. You know, we do have some consumer-facing products, but really we're a B2B company with commodity chemicals. We wanted companies like yours. We also invited some regional companies and some local companies. You know, we thought that it was only fair to have a couple of Atlanta companies. We also wanted some smaller companies, hopeful that maybe we'd get some out-of-the-box thinking. Again, we didn't know what we were looking for, but we knew that at the end of the day, the right company would rise to the top. But we wanted to have enough breadth in the selection that we weren't getting nine of the same potential company.
Well, good. I appreciate you sharing that insight. Certainly, we as well try to play off our strengths as being a B2B firm focused on brand strategy. We believe in a very rigorous process with a significant emphasis on research. Before we get into any type of positioning, we like to do both quantitative and qualitative research, looking at all the different audiences as well as the competitive factors, and really evaluate how the brands are being perceived today, where we build upon these existing strengths, but also evaluate where the brand can go, where the future potential lies. And as I described in very brief terms there, our process, where did you find the most benefit of the research phase?
I think across the spectrum was beneficial because we learned a lot about ourselves. And, you know, to back up one step, I think the fact that you did come in and needed to do all that research also checked one of the boxes that we had, which was to select a firm that had little or previous exposure to Georgia Golf or PPG. We didn't want a company to come into this branding exercise with any preconceived notion about our company, prejudices or impressions about the companies or the products or the nature of our products. And so the fact that you needed to and wanted to come in and do all of this research, both with employees to understand the culture at both companies, executives and competing companies, some of our customers and suppliers, to what you call thought leaders or influencers, people who are trade association executives, even some of the Wall Street analysts who follow us. I think it gave us a more robust understanding of what we bring to the table currently, what the opportunities are, what some of the weaknesses are that we need to be cognizant of and address. And I think it just gave us a much richer understanding of where we really could and should play as NewCo, as this new Fortune 500 company that, you know, was going to come out of the box as an integrated chemicals and building products leader. I think it really helped us get a fuller understanding as we go through the branding exercise, how we want to position ourselves so we have the right story to tell.
I think the greatest benefit for us was the ability to talk to those analysts and get a much bigger and broader perspective of the industry and what this new promise might be as it relates to this specific industry and to shareholders in the future. And so as we went through the process, if you remember, we presented all these findings to the brand steering committee and the executive team. And specifically with the executive team, we wanted to spend time with them and really understand where they wanted to take the business in the future, because we're building a brand for the future, but yet we also need to understand what the past perceptions might be, to understand that gap. By focusing on the future, we're also able to spend time with the executive team and really look to a process where we call development of core statements, and that is looking at the future purpose, vision, and mission for the organization, developing a clear path for the future and a way to communicate that internally throughout these 6,000 employees and really these two companies coming together and giving these two organizations, one united culture to move the business forward. So that was a critical step. Yet with all that work we did, we were able to clearly identify a value proposition for the new company, and that became the basis for the strategic naming brief. And we developed that process of clarifying what the brand will stand for, and then could possibly the name demonstrate that. And as we go through that process, especially with a merged company, there are a few different ways you can go about it. You can combine both names together for a certain period and then drop one after a while, or you can eliminate one right at the beginning, or a combination of the two names, or develop a new name. And as you mentioned at the very beginning, it was the desire of management to come up with a new name. Naming is one of the most difficult projects we encounter, actually, because it's very emotional. And you have to trust the process, because the process will ultimately deliver a variety of great names, but they all have to be on strategy, and they also have to be legally available. I'd like to just take a moment and compliment you and your executive team in trusting this process that we utilize. We've done this many, many times. If followed properly, and if you don't get too emotionally attached to one name too early, you end up with a number of good candidates, and that was the case of Axial as well. So maybe you can comment a little bit, not only about the process, maybe some of the criteria, but also give our listeners an idea of how you ended up with the selected name Axial.
Sure. You know, when we first started this, we had a few guidelines from the executive team, you know, and they did a great job of coming into this with a very open mind, but they also had, you know, some ground rules. You know, they didn't know what they wanted, but they knew what they didn't want, or what some of the limitations should be, or some of the things we had to strive for. And among them were, the name had to mean something. This couldn't be a made-up name or a contrived name. We wanted something that in some way talked about the importance of our products, or the nature of our company, or our strategic vision, rather than some generic name such as Century, or, you know, contrived name like Altria, you know, which has come to be a smokescreen for the tobacco industry, or a Haagen-Dazs, which today is synonymous with high-end ice cream, but it's a made-up name and has really cost, you know, them millions and millions of dollars to give traction to that name and care and feeding. So, you know, it had to be a real name, or it had to be something rooted in a real word. Second, it had to be succinct. Our CEO initially said two syllables. Well, you know, Axial ended up being three, but, you know, I think succinct was goal there, and I think we met that. We also had to be flexible. We wanted something that would not be limiting either by geography or by industry-specific sort of a name. We wanted something that had the flexibility to grow with us and evolve with us as we went down various strategic paths over the years. We didn't want to have to come back and do this in 3 to 5 years. We wanted something that was going to be long-lasting and just as meaningful 20 years from now as it is today. So those are really some of the criteria that we had going in. As far as the strategic process, I agree with Ryan. I think the, you know, looking at the vision, mission, and values, and then taking a step back and saying, you know, even as a first step, what is your purpose as a company? And we've yet to really iron or nail down what the purpose statement, what the vision, mission, values are. The executives are still trying to finalize those, but they really did help give us some more focus. And it's interesting story. When we were pursuing the merger, we thought that the merger was going to be closed back in June rather than in mid-July as it was. And this deal is predicated on a tax mechanism called the Reverse Morris Trust. It creates a tax advantage situation for PPG Industries in this case. And if we did not use the Reverse Morris Trust, the deal likely would have fallen through. Well, as the merger talks dragged on, it looked like the RMT might be in danger. The Congress was looking at ways to help pay for the massive highway bill that was passed last summer, and one of the ways to help pay for it under consideration was the elimination of the Reverse Morris Trust. It wasn't going to raise much money, but by eliminating that tax treatment, it might be able to generate a few billion dollars for the federal treasury. U.S. Senator here in Georgia, Johnny Isaacson, helped us preserve that. He went to Senator Max Baucus, Senate Finance Committee Chairman, and got the senator to exclude any references to the RMT and the highway bill, thus preserving our ability to continue down this path. Well, in October, when Ryan and his group came in to present some finalists to the executive team, some naming finalists, and then to look at the vision, mission, value statements, and purpose statement, we invited Senator Isaacson in that day for a town hall meeting. You know, he'd helped us prepare to launch this new company. We wanted to come in, and we thought it might be kind of neat to have him be there when we were presenting some of the finalists, given the fact that he preserved the opportunity for this merger to even happen. Well, he's sitting in the room listening to the discussion, you know, the talking about what we do, the nature of our products, the environmental and sustainable aspects of our products. And the senator just, he sat back and he said, if you don't mind me, you don't mind me saying so, you know, I'm not in the chemicals industry. I'm a real estate person by trade. But it sounds to me what you guys do is really take naturally occurring elements and transform them into beneficial uses for society. And that was kind of an aha moment for the entire group, sort of an epiphany. And it really has kind of become our de facto purpose statement. And so I think just the fact that the research that Ryan's group did, the many discussions that we had with the executive team and you know, presenting the findings from the research to the executives, helping them understand the internal view, the external view of how people see our company and the nature of our products. Then even having third-party input really has helped shape the Axial story, and I think really helped us decide on the Axial name because, as we'll talk in a few minutes, I'm sure, about the name itself, it's the perfect name when you look at the entire story behind the brand.
You're exactly right, Alan. It is a collective process, and I think purpose is a critical component, and the placeholder is improving life through Earth's natural elements. It's a beautiful story. It's a big idea and certainly much bigger than a chemicals company, so... Hey, maybe you can transition right into the Axial name right now.
Well, I think the thing we liked about the Axial name was, and again, when we went into this, one of the first things we had to have the executives understand was be open-minded. Because when you just hear the Axial name, your first reaction is, huh? How'd you come up with that? Well, when you step back and you look at the research and you look at the importance of what the merger does for the new company in terms of vertical integration of our products through the chain, you know, taking the commodity chemicals and then turning them into final building products. When you look at the expansion of our product lines across the chloralkali chain and on a horizontal integration, you know, that's where you come up with the X in Axial. The X symbolizes vertical integration, the horizontal integration. Looking at the words as a whole, at Axial, it fulfills that demand that it's based on a real word, that it's rooted in something that belongs in our industry. You know, if you look at Axial in our industry, granted, it's only spelled with one L as opposed to ours with two, but we have Axial bonds and Axial flows in chemistry. On the construction side of our business, words like Axial planes and Axial orientation are familiar to architects and people in the construction trade. So it's a name that is at home in our business. You know, again, getting back to, you know, you've got the X for the vertical and horizontal integration. It's also, it was the inspiration for our new tagline, the X symbolizing the interest of chemistry and progress.
All right. So now that we have a name, we have a logo, got a tagline, been approved by the executive team and the board. Now we can begin the process of rolling that out internally and externally. And with a company your size, 6,000 employees, I'm sure a lot of planning organization went into that process, and I know we were very involved in it. For example, starting the website months before we even had a name, building out the plan of how to launch this. Maybe you could spend a little bit about the process you went through of launching the brand, because I'm sure everybody wanted to hear this new name and be up to speed on it. But that's also very dangerous. You got to take a very orchestrated approach to that. So maybe you could speak a little bit to launching the brand.
It was exciting and it was challenging all at the same time. You're right, Ryan. I mean, there were some people who knew the name back in December. We had not gotten board approval, so we couldn't begin talking about the name. We didn't have a logo yet, actually. There was very little we could do in terms of publicizing because it was not complete, nor did we have final sign off from legal that it was actually a markable name that we could get ownership. In fact, there was a company in the United Kingdom in a totally different sector that had the same name. And so we had to figure out, could we actually go forward with Axial? At the same time, there are also a lot of reasons behind the scenes why people needed the name, they needed the logo, whether it was for changing email addresses or for regulatory reasons, some regulatory forms, SAP systems. Customers and vendors needed to have the logo so we could do invoicing on day one. there were a whole host of reasons why for weeks and weeks and weeks people wanted the logo. And there for a while, you know, here I do corporate communications. And instead, I think I was getting the reputation of being the head of no communications. Mm-hmm. You know, we had to carefully manage this thing because we wanted to have as powerful a launch as we possibly could. We eventually became Axial on January 28th, but we announced the name on January 14th. We used the approval by the board of directors and by Georgia Gulf shareholders to move forward with the merger as an opportunity to socialize the name. You know, we announced the fact that shareholders that approved the name, the new company going forward would be Axial. That gave us an opportunity to do a soft launch of the external website to begin to tell the brand story. We debated for a number of weeks, both internally and with Rikus Baird, about the pros and cons of doing a multi-phase launch or a hard launch the day that you go live. Ultimately, I think factors outside of our control dictated that we do the soft launch or do a two-pronged launch because of the internal need to have access to the name and the logo. In fact, we even had some people at one of our chemical facilities who were doing trademark searches weeks before the name was launched, and Axial was already available on trademark websites. So, you know, it was slowly beginning to slip out. I think the good thing was that having the two-pronged launch was we got to socialize it in mid-January, begin to tell the story on our terms, help people understand what we wanted them to understand. Then 2 weeks later, when Axial really was launched, when the merger was closed, we were able to come back, retell the story, reemphasize it, because it's a complicated story. You can't appreciate Axial and the meaning behind the name unless you really understand the intersection of chemistry and progress, unless you understand the vertical and horizontal integration aspect. You know, the two L's form the foundation of the logo, symbolizing two equally strong companies coming together, form the solid foundation of Axial. You know, we had to be able to tell that story, and I think it needed to be told a couple of times. So actually, I think the way it rolled out was pretty good. The people here love the name. Externally, we're getting a lot of congratulations on the name. The day we launched, someone from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce called me and said it was a great website. It was a great story. I think the fact that we spent so much time and so much effort making sure that people understood the entire story really gave it relevance, gave it traction, and I think made the acceptance a lot stronger than it otherwise might be. And it's gotten to the point now where our employees have gone to the Rikus Baird website to look at ways that the logo might be used. The graphic designers at Rikus Baird, as creative as they are, I think have taken a little bit of license, editorial license, and, you know, they've created things like a beautiful umbrella and a beautiful hat that we have not found a manufacturer who's able of manufacturing it yet. It's so complex and so beautiful and so intricate. You know, so on one hand, it's great that our employees are chomping at the bit to wear the logo, to put it on stuff, to be able to use it. I think we've also got the challenge of managing their expectations. And, you know, so once again, in some ways, I'm finding myself being the head of the no communications department, having to be the brand police. You know, because one of the other things that companies need to realize that after you've launched this brand, a lot of people are going to be excited about it and they're going to want to use it. Well, you have to protect how it's used. Otherwise, it gets diluted. You end up with rogue and maverick uses of the logo of the brand. And you really, you end up undermining all of the hard work you've done to create a strong and enduring brand.
Well, I mean, it was a great overview. I think you're absolutely right. Well, it sounds like you're getting really some positive feedback, both internally and externally, on the name, the identity, how it reflects the strategic positioning of the brand. Were there any unexpected surprises, benefits, or obstacles that you encountered during the process?
I think one of the, and I don't know that it's unexpected, because we get this all the time with the executives, but really it's time and scheduling. We were on a fast track with this, as you know. And the ability to get all of the executives in a room or on a phone to do a presentation and to walk through either your findings from the research or your recommendations for the name, you know, it was the proverbial herding of cats. At the same time, you know, we benefited from having a CEO who really made this a priority, and that's crucial. You know, if you don't have somebody at the very top who's going to demand that everybody else on the executive team give us the time that's needed, give this the open-mindedness that's required, you're not going to do this or it's not going to be successful. You know, I think the other surprise was, as I mentioned, was just the urgency that people seem to have around needing the logo, needing the name. And even though the urgency was in some cases exaggerated, I think what that pointed to was the fact that this was something people were dying to get their hands on. People were excited about this. And I think that it just sort of symbolized the enthusiasm and optimism that the employees from both companies greeted the merger with. And the logo and the new company name just sort of was the symbol of their excitement. And I'm really glad that it's really been greeted the way that it has. And I think the other surprise is, we looked at a lot of different ways to launch this thing, and the executives didn't want to do everything. Some of it was because of cost. So there are some things that were recommended that we didn't get to do. On the other hand, if you're launching a new brand and you're more company out here listening to this, be creative. Be willing to think out of the box. Look at other alternatives for getting your name out there. We were able to persuade the New York Stock Exchange to let us ring the closing bell earlier this month. Well, it turned out it was the closing bell on March 5th. That was the day that the Dow Jones crossed 14,000 for the first time ever. So, we were on the news in every community around the country that did a nightly business report. We were even on Jon Stewart's Daily Show that night. So you just never know where your name's going to show up, how your brand's going to be seen. But the key is you got to get it out there. You got to help people understand what it means, make it relevant, give it the proper care and feeding it deserves. And internal and external audiences really be excited about it and will support it.
Well, you certainly pulled off a great feat by doing the closing bell. So congratulations on that. Incredible amount of coverage. And also the market obviously likes this this brand and this new company as well. And you've had a nice stock appreciation both since you announced the merger, and then once the name was announced, it had significant run up as well. Clearly, there's some confidence behind this company.
Yeah, obviously the financials and all of that has something to do with it. You have to look at the business part of this to understand why shareholders appreciate it. But the message in the brand strategy and the brand story, I think, also helps people understand that we've got a vision and we know what kind of a company we aspire to be. And I think that gives them additional confidence.
Well, Alan, you've been a great guest. Really appreciate your time. Any final thoughts or insights you'd like to share for our listeners today?
This is an exciting process. If you have the opportunity to do a brand strategy, don't take this lightly. It's going to take a lot of time. It's going to take a lot of energy. But if you can really get the dedicated time and resources of people who need to be involved with this, do as much research as you possibly can, come into this with an open mind, and are able to give it, like I said earlier, the care and feeding that it needs and it deserves, I think you'll richly benefit from a brand that really tells the story that you want to tell about your company, and that should be enduring and that supports what you want to do strategically for years to come.
Great suggestion. If our listeners have any questions of you, how could they reach you? Would it be through your website or email?
Email's the best way. It's first name, last name, Alan, A-L-A-N, .Chapel, C-H-A-P-P-L-E, at Axial, A-X-I-A-L-L, .com. Again, A-L-A-N, .C-H-A-P-P-L-E, at Axial.com. Or you can visit our website at www.axial.com.
Love that short URL. Isn't it perfect?
Well, I tell you what, one more thing real quick. The Axial name is really nice, too, because it puts us at the top of a lot of lists. When you look at alphabetized lists, we're pretty close to the top.
Well, Alan, thank you again for being a guest on Branding Business. That concludes our show for today. This is Ryan Rikus, and you've been listening to another edition of Branding Business with Rikus Baird. If you'd like to listen to past shows or read our blog series, visit brandingbusiness.com. Please share your comments, as we can all benefit from the discussion and very important views. So for now, thanks for listening, and stay focused, my friends.
You've been listening to Branding Business, the only show that brings branding experts and corporate executives together to explore how branding your business can improve both your top-line growth and bottom-line performance. To hear more, simply visit our website, brandingbusiness.com, or tune in next week to learn how you, too, can build your brand and move your business forward. Brought to you by Rikus Baird.